Please take your Bibles this morning as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we'll begin, and then we'll be going to the book of Nehemiah. We're looking this morning at where it all begins. Where it all begins. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read verses 11 through 13. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is the New Testament commentary on what we're going to be looking at in Nehemiah chapter 3. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your power and might which you have already demonstrated here this morning. We thank you, Father, for your greatness and your goodness and the blessing that it is to know Christ and to be part of a body of believers who love the Lord Jesus. And we ask today that you might work in our hearts to bring us to that point in our lives of being totally surrendered to you, doing the will of God from the heart, laying ourselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus, casting off our own selves, our own desires, our own pursuits, that we might pursue the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for this message. I'm trusting and depending in you to bring it, not in myself. We want to see Jesus high and lifted up today. And so my trust and dependence is in the guidance and power of the Spirit of Christ this morning, asking you to speak to our hearts, convict and convince of everything that we need for this day, and may we make the choices and decisions and changes in our lives that we need to make today as a result of being in the house of God, looking into the book of Nehemiah this morning. We give you praise, give you thanksgiving. You take us every step of the way, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Turning to Nehemiah chapter 3, we're going to be looking at four selected verses in Nehemiah this morning as we consider where it all begins. This chapter is a remarkable record of the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. And as you pursue the looking at verse by verse in Nehemiah chapter 3, you will see all these homes, all these names, as we are given a tour of Jerusalem around the city, and every family is assigned a certain spot on that wall that they are to build all the way around Jerusalem. Guess what? Every single one of them did their job. And when they were finished, the wall was built, and there were no holes in the wall anywhere. Because every soul did their job. We've got to take that to heart this morning, because this is a church. This is our congregation. Every single one of us must pursue the job that God has for us here with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. Every citizen answered the call and joined in the building of the wall. Nobody was envious about where they were placed in the city. Nobody said, well, I want to work over there. Well, no, I want to work over there. Well, that's easier over there. There was none of that, none of it. Everyone was satisfied with their assignment, and every single part of the wall was rebuilt. Beginning at the sheep gate and around the whole city. Nehemiah chapter 3 lists the names and who was there. You can visualize in your mind every man at his assigned position at the wall around Jerusalem. No one was lazy. Nobody grumbled. Everybody was united in the task at hand. You know, any church like that is irresistible. We need to be like that. Every single one of us at our post around the wall doing the job that God is calling us to do individually. An army of God's children all doing their tasks. The goal of oneness, of objective and happiness in the task allotted to each one of us, with the absence of friction and the absence of discontent, is what we must work for and what we must pray for. We draw our attention this morning to a phrase that comes up four times in Nehemiah chapter 3. The phrase is repaired, a few more words, and then over against his house. Repaired over against his house. That's going to be our four points when we get there, verses 10, 23, 29, and 30. That is where every real work of God must begin. It begins in our homes. It begins in your house. It begins with your family. That's where it begins. The disciples were told to begin at Jerusalem, the place where they failed the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to begin there with the gospel and then go to the ends of the earth, the place they had failed and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be victory in the place of past failure before the doors will ever open to areas of wider service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your witness will be no more effective in the community than your witness is in your own house. It starts at home. A church is no stronger than its homes. A church is made up of families and individuals. And the problem that we face today is massive. And the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem was a massive undertaking. Today, the Christian home is in need of rebuilding and revival. The American home is in need of rebuilding. And even the unbelievers recognize that. It's all over the news. They know, as unbelievers, that the problem of our country is its homes, where there's no father, and where there's no direction, and where there's no God. That is the problem. If the home is to be rebuilt, the Christian has got to embrace the fact that the only foundation upon which it can be built is Christ, that we just read about. There is no other foundation. We're going to look at the significance of some of the names listed in the text in chapter 3. A man's name was often descriptive of his character, and that is definitely true of our Savior and our God. We're going to look at four names who repaired over against their house. We will see that the home is the place where we must begin if we would know the blessing of God. Our first point comes from verse number 10, and the name is Jediah. Verse number 10 of Nehemiah chapter 3. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. Jediah, his name means invoker of God. Invoker of God. Jediah was a man who knew how to pray. A man whose life was founded on prayer. There has to be built in every one of our homes a wall of prayer. We're looking at the wall of Jerusalem being built and the applications from these four individuals and their names. There has to be a wall of prayer built in our homes. It needs to be a cherished time of prayer. Let me ask you this morning, is your prayer time a cherished time to you? Is it a time that you long for? A time that you long to do this? A time that you want to spend with God in prayer? A cherished time of prayer must be built by the citizens of heaven. That's you and me. And it must be done now if it has not been done. The wall has got to be built, or the wall has got to be rebuilt. Prayer brings harmony. It brings grace. It brings tenderness. Harsh words and bad tempers will disappear. Children notice when mom and dad have become careless about spiritual things. They are not fooled. The wall of prayer must be rebuilt in our homes. Sometimes even in homes of leaders and teachers and preachers, we get too busy, much too busy. We get too busy serving, or we get too busy doing other things, that the wall of prayer is broken down. And that cannot happen. That has to be fixed. It must be rebuilt. We have a temptation to get busyness confused with real spirituality. And we cannot do that. The second name is Hashub in verse number 23. And after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. Hashub merely means associate. We're going to go to the first name and focus on Benjamin. We see that Benjamin means the son of my right hand, the one who is there to protect me. Is the wall of protection broken down in your home? We're looking at four walls this morning that we must have built in our homes. The wall of prayer and now the wall of protection. What keeps a home safe? Now, the blessing that was given from God to Benjamin was this. In Deuteronomy 33:12, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now you envision yourself dwelling between the shoulders of God. Have you ever seen a father pick the little kid up and stick them on his shoulders, straddling his neck, and the hands are clasped together? That's how you got to picture yourself and God. Secure between the shoulders of Almighty God. We need Christian homes that are kept safe, kept in safety by God, where husbands and wives are seeking the kingdom of God first and foremost in their lives. We are then protected from worry and from fear and from friction. When you dwell between the shoulders of God, all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. You better get yourself between the shoulders of God and be safe, seeking first the kingdom of God. How urgently the Christian home and the American home needs to face the problem of the disintegration of our homes and get back to seeking first the kingdom of God. We need to dwell safely between the shoulders of God. The third name is Zadok in verse number 29. And after them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. There's that phrase, over against his house. That's where these men were doing the repairs to the wall. The name Zadok means justice. And for our third wall, we're going to call it the wall of integrity. The wall of integrity. Is the wall of integrity broken down in your home? Remember those wedding vows that you took. To love, honor, cherish, keeping yourselves only for each other all the days of your life. Do you long for more than anyone else in the world to be with your husband or wife? Is that your longing this morning? There is nobody else that you'd rather be with in the whole world. The sacred wall of integrity must be built and it must be strongly maintained. And since we men have a problem with our eyeballs, they have got to be committed to the Lord. And let me tell you, it's got to be done every day. And many times a day, the wall of integrity must be built and strongly maintained if God is to bless our homes. You know, the sad truth today is that tens of thousands of Christian homes in America are held together only for the sake of appearance. Or only for the sake that there's children walking around in this house. The love and devotion that used to be there is gone. The vows have been forsaken and forgotten, and the walls of integrity must be rebuilt. This will ruin our testimony and put a blight upon our church. How blessed is the home where there is complete trust, confidence, team effort, and respect. You know, husbands and wives are to be a team. They're in a yoke like oxen, and they must pull it together. They cannot pull it apart. It must be pulled together. The wall, the sacred wall of integrity must be maintained and it must be built. Zadok was the son of a man named Immer, or Immer, whatever. And his name means talkative. Oh no. Do you know of any weapon that does more harm in a home than the tongue? The tongue is a terrible, terrible thing at times. In a real Christian home, moms and dads do not sit around and gossip and criticize other believers. Some secrets should never, ever, ever be discussed. The only place that they should be talked about is in the prayer closet. And that is it. You take that to God and you talk to Him about it. The fourth name is Meshulam. Meshulam. And we find him in verse number 30, the second part of verse number 30. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Bechariah, over against his, notice the word, chamber. Chamber. Does not say house. Now this is an interesting one. Because Meshulam apparently lived in a one-room apartment alone, signified by the word his chamber. Now, this fellow's all alone. And he may have felt very insignificant as he worked on his little section of the wall all by himself. Here he is. He's the little guy. And you know what? Some of us sitting here this morning, you feel like Meshulam. You feel like you're very small and you're very insignificant and there's not a whole lot that you can do. And that's not a good thing to be thinking. That's a wrong thing to be thinking. Don't be thinking that. Here he is. This is not much of a section of the wall. But now let's get to the meaning of his name. His name means devoted. Devoted. Just a humble little apartment. But his life speaks of an utter, absolute dedication. You know what? We have those people in the church all over the world. And we need those people right here in this church. This fellow may have sacrificed and devoted himself so much to God that all he needed was this small little apartment where he would go at night and sleep. I mean, here we're talking about somebody that's sold out to God, 100%. And so we must ask ourselves the question this morning, has the wall of devotion and dedication been broken down in our home? Is it broken down? Does it need to be repaired? You know, you used to never miss a service, never miss a prayer meeting. You served the Lord with gladness, but now the attendance is irregular. Your service has slipped, and the wall of dedication and devotion has crumbled. Does the wall of devotion and dedication need to be rebuilt in your home and in your life? We have this man, Meshulam. He had a small part of the wall. And as we think about just a small part of the wall, the enemy only needs a small part of the wall to be broken down that he may enter and kill and maim the inhabitants of the city. The enemy does not need a big section of the wall broken down. He only needs a little section. And here is Meshulam. And what if he would have decided, this is a small hole, I'm not going to fix it. Well, forget that. You know his name, what it means. He was devoted to the task. And he finished that small part of the wall, for we know that the wall was completed. It was done. It was finished. You know, we must ask ourselves this morning, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me now? I'm going to use all five W words. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you now? Where is your wall broken down? Is it the wall of prayer? Is it the wall of being right and having a right relationship with your spouse? Is that wall broken down? Is it the wall of devotion and worship? Has your home and your stuff and your pleasures become your idol? Have you nailed your tent stakes down here on this earth and you live for the here and the now and the next event and the next thing? And the kingdom of God is nowhere on the horizon. Listen, these kind of believers are living in fantasy land. And they're going to get a wake-up call on Judgment Day as the wood and the hay and the stubble goes up in smoke. Or maybe you're here this morning and you think that you're too small and you're too insignificant to matter. Let me tell you, that thought is from the pit of hell, from Satan himself. Listen, we need every soldier. It doesn't matter what that soldier's doing in the army or what they're doing and what their task is. We need everybody in their spot, around that wall, doing the thing that God's called them to do. No one is too small or insignificant to matter. Every little section of the wall matters, and it must be rebuilt. And it must be maintained. Who is going to stand with Nehemiah and rebuild the walls? When are you going to get started? Why miss out on God's blessing and reward in your life? Four walls that we must build and maintain: the wall of prayer, the wall of protection, the wall of integrity, and the wall of devotion. Let's make sure our walls are built and maintained, all to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this chapter 3 where we see the list of names. We've only looked at four of the many, many names and their meanings and applications from these men. Father, today we are in need of building and rebuilding. Father, help us. Help us as a church to make sure our walls are standing strong. May we be sure to maintain the things in our lives that we must do, that we need to do, that you're calling us to do, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, you say this morning, you know what? They're walls. I've got at least one of these walls and I need to get it rebuilt. It's been collapsed. It needs help. Will you rebuild that wall? Tell God right now that you're going to rebuild that wall. Tell Him you're going to maintain that wall after it's rebuilt. And you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the stuff here doesn't matter. Souls matter. Reaching out to folks is what matters. Let God know. Maybe you're here this morning to say, you know what? I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want to come to know Him as my Savior today. If that's you. You don't know Jesus, but you say, I want to accept Him as my Savior today, just look up, just raise your head and look at me right now. On the piano side. Anyone on the piano side? The other side? Say, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I believe we all know the Lord here this morning. Let us make sure that we maintain and rebuild and build the walls that must be built. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your power and for saving us. Father, may we collectively, as all the soldiers of the cross here this morning, may we be in the building of the wall business and maintaining them. Lord, help us to get the mortar put in where it falls out. Help us to get the stones back in where they belong. Help us to rebuild and maintain for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.